Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Kipper O'Clock, our favorite 8 o'clock guest, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Nick Kiprios from Real Kipper and Born, Stanley Cup champion, Kipper O'Clock. What'd you think of that boring game last night? I almost fell asleep watching.
If you did, you
when
were
they were
awoken,
up 5-1, I just mailed it in. Said,
see, I watched that game and thought, this is Nick Kiprios hockey. This is the hockey.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like, this is Kipper's dream.
Wow.
This is all he wanted. This is what he – this is when Kipper was playing the game, he thought, if only someday we could see games like this, right? That's you, Kipper hockey.
Well, you know, I was at what, 4-1, 5-1, you're sitting there going – okay, what is this hit going to be like with JD? You know, if they win 7-1 and they spank Tampa Bay, it's going to be just me sitting back, Ailish saying something, you know, welcome me on the program, and then you for the next 7-8 minutes planning the parade route and
good one.
Ordering rings.
I've heard that one before. Yeah.
So, if anything, reality set in again last night that a lot of work still to be done.
So I thought that as well. I thought that maybe the maturity level that we had handed or saw that the Leafs had earned over this last year, did we give them too much credit? Because another collapse such as that is tough to watch as a fan base. Are we taking too much out of a back-to-back with a backup goalie against two hard teams in a row, or is that something that you should actually be concerned about, that maybe they're not as mature as we had expected?
Yeah, I'm not sure if the first thing I want to look at is a maturity level. Mm-hmm. We looked at both teams coming in last night, and the ongoing joke was that it was going to be a 10-7 game. And, you know, we weren't that far off. I mean, it was just fairly predictable that these two teams want to play a certain way. And is it conducive to success in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Absolutely not. You know, just listening to Sheldon Keefe's comments, though, he wants to look at the glass half full. And, you know, there has been signs since mid-February that you can play pretty good teams like Pitt, Minnesota, Carolina, Tampa the other night, and find a way to keep them within two goals or less. So there is that part of their game that we've seen. Have we seen enough over the courses of 70 games? Probably not. But this outscore your mistakes and, you know, run and gun and everybody just opening it right up. Both sides. Like, people are talking about the Florida Panthers being ready to go to a Stanley Cup final and they're all in. And then you watch them give up their chances. And the fact that they've only won one round in, what, 10 years? You know, for me, both teams last night, if they don't figure it out quickly here, how to keep the puck out of their own net on a consistent basis, which means sometimes it's not that entertaining, both of them will be out in the first round.
So what if they play each other in the first round? This is something we were kicking around earlier, just the idea of... No, seriously, if you're the Leafs, do you want a team like that? And you say, hey, we can trade chances and we're the Leafs and we feel as though we're going to come out on top? Or do you think that kind of leans into bad habit building, or that the Panthers can kind of put a little bit too much pressure on your goaltending, which right now is the weak spot? Like, because I would say that was a tale of two games in terms of, for half of it, you feel like, yo, I would love this team in the first round if you're a Leaf fan. In the second half, you go, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there were spurts in that game where I can see that Florida's more physical than Toronto. I'm watching Gudas kind of run around a little bit, and, you know, Bennett's got a little bit of that. Lomberg, Marchment, And that's the one element, I think, over the course of seven games, JD, that would give Florida a bit of an advantage. And even if the Leafs were to find a way to win a seven-game series against Florida, I'm not sure what's going to be left of them, you know, physically. We know it doesn't come natural to the Toronto Maple Leafs to go out there and, hey, I'd rather knock you over before you knock over me first. That's the only thing in a seven-game series, I would say, is that if they're both equal and both have questionable goaltending, maybe just Florida gets a little bit of the advantage because it does come more natural to them to run people over.
So Blake brought up a good question at the top of the show to us about, would you rather play a team basically with the same type of structure and offensive power in the playoffs like the Florida Panthers, or a tighter knit defensive team like the Bruins or the Hurricanes? Curious on your take on who would be a better matchup for the Leafs. Not that they get very much of a choice, but if you're aligning the cards, who would you think that they'd have the best chance at going through that first round?
Well, it's sometimes you can actually continue to go through a learning process in the playoffs. It doesn't have to be that you're completely ready and prepped because of the 82 games. For me, I think the quicker that they learn to be a patient club, not take as many chances, slow things down. Like, that's the beauty of what you saw against Tampa Bay, is that they played a more playoff type of game, and they ran the score up, but in the third period, I thought that was their best hockey that I've seen in a long time, because they were just in a zone where they did look mature, and they realized that they had enough offense and they don't need to go score the seventh or eighth goal. They had enough. To me, if they were to start in the playoffs against a team that could get more out of them like that, it would bode well than a running gun series like what we saw last night.
Okay, so obviously, you know, you're loving it. Leafs played a run-and-gun game. They lost, and now you're just, like, thumping them. And we'll see. I was like, all right, fine. But let's get it.
Well, what are you, like, you're mad at me?
I'm not mad at you. I'm like, Skippers. It was like, all right, like, they lost. I just think that they're not as, to me, right now, like, they've had more good than bad. Like, you got to admit that these games...
Did I,
like,
not give them credit for beating Minnie and, you know...
Kind of
Pitt
credit.
And Carolina and Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they showed good signs. There just needs to be a level of consistency here. You're talking about playing every other night and trying to win a Stanley Cup for 8 weeks. And, you know, those type of games last night... You know, they bring up old bad habits. That's all, and that to me is a little discouraging. But you know, you want to go the entertainment route. Yeah, okay, great, entertaining. Yeah. You want to talk about trying to win a Stanley Cup and a championship? Then the bar's got to be a lot higher, JD. Mm-hmm.
So, Kipper, one of the reasons I brought up the question that Ailish mentioned to you is that an area that, you know, the Leafs have actually, for long stretches of the season, had some sound defensive zone play, but where they struggle and where it was very obvious they struggled last night is against the rush. And I'm wondering your take on, you know, we see Jake Muzzin come back, and he is on paper a more playoff style defenseman. He's a guy you'd want out there as the game tightens up, gets a little more physical, slows down a little bit. What is the length of time to evaluate him in here and see just how much he can do for you in the playoffs? Because I know there's a bit of season left, and it was just one game back, and he looked fine, at least when he was away from Justin Hall. But he was struggling before this latest injury as well. How many games do you need to see from Muzzin before you're like, okay, this is, you know, a third pair guy for the playoffs, or this guy's ready to be, you know, a top four guy for us in a postseason series?
Well, I don't envision a successful Stanley Cup playoff run for the Toronto Maple Leafs unless Jake Muzzin is the Jake Muzzin that you know in the past and signed to a almost $6 million contract. So the answer, Lakey is as long as it takes, you know, whether it's the next dozen games or even the first couple in the playoffs. You need a very good Jake Muzzin. A Jake Muzzin playing 12 or 14 minutes on the third pair or just being inconsistent does not bode well for the Leafs. To me, he has to be back to where he was at the peak of his run here with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that is you got to be physical and you got to be your team's top shutdown guy. It is a little discouraging to see him back with Hull last night and be on the ice for as many goals as they were, but I don't envision a successful run with Jake Muzzin playing less than 15 minutes on the third pair. I don't. So my answer to you is you have to give him a chance to find his game between now and the end of the regular season.
What did you think about throwing him in for his first game against that Panthers team on a back-to-back? Like, do you have any issue just with the timing of it, the spot of it? Because I did have a little bit of curiosity.
I don't know. I mean, I like what Lyubushkin brought.
Yeah.
He's kind of against the philosophy that they started years ago where it's like skill. And he's been a breath of fresh air because he's not that. He is a clear-cut meat and potatoes type of guy. And I don't know. I wouldn't have taken him out of the lineup. That's not the guy that I would have taken out of the lineup. But, you know, Sheldon Keefe's got this window here where he's not pressed for worrying about making the playoffs, and you're going to treat the last, 14, 15 games this season as building blocks towards the first round. And if the last night was one of those, then you live and learn and you move on. And that's I think that's what they're thinking and doing. And we heard from Keefe's comments last night. Wasn't overly concerned about last night. He's a big picture guy. So you get ready for Thursday against Dallas and you move on.
So, you know, you get testy with me because, you know, I give him too much credit. You think I look too far in the future. But, you know,
remember, you're born and bred a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I mean,
you and
our producer, Sammy, from the Real Kipper Bourne Show, you're used to this. Win one, and we win the Stanley Cup, and lose one, and it's the worst thing in the world.
I am not a weather vane like Sam, okay? Like, Sam, you're just... See, this is the problem, Kipper, is that you hear Sam every day, and you hear these up-and-down takes where one day he's like, oh, I don't know, Kipper, I feel like they're never going to win another game. And then the next day he's like, Kipper, I'm thinking this is our year. I get it. Like, I get that you think I'm Sam because we're buddies. He's actually... We got a real Kipper and Bourne hour because he's going to give us his Masters picks in the Wake and Rake today. But,
yes.
Man, you got to feel good about where Marner's game's at right now, right? Like, this isn't the North Division, and he's just doing this night in, night out where he's dominating. And last night, again, just a spectacular minute. The entire game, I thought that, you know, he still had the pop in his legs. He looks strong. What are you just making about Marner right now and just your feeling of confidence that he's going to be able to carry this play into the postseason?
Well, I don't think, you know, guys like Justin Bourne and Sammy, you know, I don't think they wonder how my view is of Mitch Marner. And I've said this for a very long time. And, you know, with all due respect to Austin Matthews and the historic season he's having and how good he is, but Mitch Marner is the engine of this hockey club. And is still, in my opinion. You know, does Austin get a ton of attention? Absolutely. Does Mitch sometimes not get all the credit he deserves sometimes? Yes, absolutely. But regardless, both those players at the highest level we've seen maybe in history of the Toronto Maple Leafs, for sure. I mean, I grew up in the Sittler and McDonald era, and before that, you know, there were Stanley Cups in the 60s, Gilmore and Anderchuk, but what those two guys have been doing and continue to do it and just it's a given. 2 points a night has just been a given for almost half the season, which is unheard of. And, you know, it doesn't – historically, it's been a very hard thing to do in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you're just wondering and anticipating that that these guys, it's going to be a very difficult thing to stop both these guys. But, you know, for Mitch, it's just – for me, it's the skating. Like, he just doesn't stop. Shorthanded, even strength, power play. He's never not moving. He never looks tired. And, man, he's carrying a lot of guys right now to another level. And it's been so much fun to watch.
Seems like Leafs fans won't really give him his flowers until he's able to do it in the playoffs, which is understandable. But right now we're seeing a lot of greatness with those two and greatness with you as our weekly guest. Appreciate you coming on.
I'm sorry. My bar is so friggin' high for JD and Sam.
That's
but
right.
I have seen and witnessed the blueprint it takes to win four rounds. I've lived through it, and it is a different beast in the playoffs. And you know, constantly, I think that message I'll never stop sending guys like Sam and a little bit JD.
Yeah, thank you. At least like a little separation between the two of us. You know? Like at least just like a tiny little bit.
You got it. You got it, JD.
I appreciate, buddy.
And, you know, and I appreciate your love for little Buddha.
Of course, you know, I'm going to have one this weekend.
Still waiting.
Oh, poor Ailish, still waiting. Yeah, see, still Ailish waiting. Knows how to work her free stuff.
Oh, Ailish, I'm going to look after you. Don't worry.
Yeah, I pump your tires every time you're on. Kipper o'clock. We love
I
know.
I do that too, Ailish. No I just Buddha. Go and support my friend and go pay for it, you know? Like, it's just like I bought Blake's book, you know, like I buy Kipper's little Buddha. You're just like, where's my free, only free.
Listen, it's springtime. The LCBO is well stocked, and I'm going to look after you guys. Don't worry. Okay.
All right.
Have a great day.
Good luck with Sammy today. Nick Kiprios, Real Kipper Report. And yeah, of course. And like I love Kipper skepticism, and I think that it's unbelievably valuable right now, especially since we tend to get into, I think, echo chambers of you want to pick what you can basically pick your Toronto Maple Leafs narrative and cultivate your content accordingly, right? You know, and I think that it's great to have a balance of viewpoints on what they are right now. And I totally agree with them, though, is that's the reason why you don't believe. If it was a regular season award, then we would be just we would be planning the parade because they look phenomenal. But we learn this every year, and it's my slight little fear with the Raptors offense too, where I go like, this is great, and then all of a sudden they get into a playoff series and Joel Embiid's underneath the basket blocking the living crap out of every Raptor, and I'm going, oh my god, I forgot about game planning. You know, like, it's just this happens to us. We watch 82 games of the NBA and the NHL, and it's hard at times to remember that the games do shift drastically when we hit that other time of the year.
And that's why it's important to have insiders like Nick Kiprios on. And that insider Correct. Was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. JD, I'm glad you mentioned that you bought my book, Chasing a Dream, the Carl English Story, as told to Blake Correct. Murphy. Get it wherever you get your books in Canada. Ailish also got a free copy of that, too. So
yeah, of course.
There's it's okay. Like comps only. For Ailish.
Guys, I make
comps
much
only.
Less money than you. And
what?
I am a struggling, stepping Look, into
this
the industry.
This is an outrageous.
Still paying
outrageous
my student
narrative.
Loans.
Oh, poor you. Oh, Ailish. Oh, in her $1 million condo with her courtside tickets, talking to Scotty Barnes and then
Those
riding her Peloton
free.
With her $1 billion. Like, oh, what are you talking about? This is the fake news. This is the fakest of fake news.
Speaking of comp stuff, by the way.
Oh, this was a transition that we stepped on, was it?
Yes, yes.
No, I'm
yes.
just, while we're here, yeah. Look, Ailish
Let's
received
away.
So much free stuff.
Yeah, let me give
like
some free stuff away.
She should give some free stuff away.
Let me give some free stuff away. Listen up, Leafs fans. We're giving a pair of tickets away to the Leafs April 17th home game against the New York Islanders. Download today and Thursday's episodes of the Fan Morning Show wherever you get your pods and listen for the different code words that will be placed in each podcast. Then text each code word to 590-590 for your chance to win. Each code word counts as one entry. The winner will be selected Friday, April 8th. So that's to the New York Islanders Leafs home game, April 17th. Find the code word and text it in. Free tickets. We love free stuff. At least I do. Did you guys fall asleep?
Who doesn't love free tickets? I don't know. What do you want me to say? We're giving away free tickets.
We're giving away free tickets.
Download the podcast. Put the code word. Text five stars. 590.
That's good karma.
We do this every day. I know you're looking at us like you want a response or us to. I have no take on that. It's cool if you win free tickets. I mostly just think like we're so far ahead. That game's in like 2 weeks. How did we get so far ahead on the ticket giveaways? But. That's a lot of fun stuff to look forward to. And now it's at the point too, where every time we give one of these away, I look at the Leafs calendar and I look at the NBA playoff calendar and I'm trying to figure out already like, okay, which dates can't the Raptors be at home and what would that mean for their start date and stuff like that. And then there's also the Jays component where it's a reminder right now that like, we're about to head into one of the best couple week stretches of the sports calendar. And March Madness is like the unofficial kickoff of that, or WrestleMania if you prefer.
Yes,
I mean, hey, this is a big WrestleMania. We have had the Raw after WrestleMania on Sportsnet, which is always the biggest one, but the Masters is kind of, to me, the unofficial flag of, hey, this is the spring sports month. You've got the Leafs ramping up for the playoffs, you've got the Raptors in the playoffs, you've got baseball starting, there's the Masters, the NFL draft's just around the corner. We got a fun couple weeks ahead. That's all.
We get a Super Sports Saturday.
Girl Kelly's drinking all day.
Yeah.
Our guy Kelly. Our guy Kelly.
Kelly's a boy.
Found that out after the show. Sorry,
I'm a real boy.
Yeah. We get a Super Sports Saturday. We get the F1. We get Masters. We get Leafs. And what's the other thing that day? Blue Jays, obviously. The second day of the Blue Jays season. And yeah, you can throw in a UFC.
Leafs and Capitals Saturday as well.
Yes, that's it. It's like
I'm going to be on the Steve Dangle YouTube broadcast stream on Saturday after coming from the Rogers Center to watch the Blue Jays game a couple beers deep. So stay tuned. That should be fun. That should be really fun.
I mean, you just basically wrote your resignation letter right there. Like,
hey, I did respond
guys,
to the request.
I'll be drunk and I'll do this thing on camera. It's like,
request from the producer and I said, well, just so you know, I'll be at the Blue Jays game that afternoon. And I'll probably taper back. He's like, no problem. Why don't you chug a beer on the stream? And I was like, all right, okay.
So, you better hope that that's a quick Blue
I know,
Jays
it's a
game,
quick
turnaround. Because that's a 3:37 first pitch.
Yes.
And by the way, if you want to add to your Super Sports,
there's a lot of questionable Ailish stuff in this.
A lot of questionable
what
Ailish.
Do you mean?
It's a Ailish, miracle she could take care of herself.
Honestly, she presents herself
on this show.
Ailish doing a 3:37 baseball game and getting back to her condo for 7 o'clock puck drop stream.
Yeah, I think I'm during the second period, which helps.
Okay. So you're not going to watch the first period? You're going to show up and be like, what happened?
I'm going to watch it on Rogers Ignite on my phone. Rogers Ignite. And I am going to be able to make it in time.
I do like shouting out Rogers Ignite, and I do think that it's a really good product. I got to tell you, Rogers Ignite, forgetting that I didn't record a game while being outside of the apartment and then pulling up the app and then slamming that record button or watching something on my phone, an inning or two, or an NFL Sunday where you got to do a transition somewhere and throw on the lake. Just the best, the absolute best. Let's take a break. And it's Masters weekend, as Blake said it. You got some, Blake?
No, I mean, I was just going to tee up that, I was just going to tee up the pitching matchup for Saturday and see if it's going to be a quick one or not. Basically, Ailish is hoping for the old Mark Burley against Roy Halladay match, where I think they once had a game go under 2 hours or just scrape past the 2 hour mark.
Jose Barrios
is more of the work fast guy on the staff. Gossman is going Saturday, so I don't know. Ailish, this is not a baseball team that profiles as a team that's going to finish games quickly, because they're going to get into bullpens early. They're going to put up a lot of runs. I don't know. I'd get an exit plan ready beyond just Rogers Ignite. That's Saturday. What starts Thursday is the Masters. After the break, the Wake and Rake, we're bringing on Sam McKee, co-host of Golf Show and producer Real Kipper and Bourne. Little Masters betting preview to go with your Wednesday Wake and Rake. That's next on the Fan Morning Show Sports at 590, The Fan.
The code word for today's episode to text to 590, 590 to qualify for your shot to win Leafs Islanders tickets on April 17th is Dobson.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan. JD, Blake, and Ailish. It's wake and rake time. It's time to make some picks. Time to talk money, talk turkey. Yesterday night, the Houston Rockets, one of the most degenerate bets I have made on the wake and rake. They cover the 17.5 points. Just an incredible performance by them. Very back and forth, very up and down. Blake Murphy hits as well. The Milwaukee Bucks cover. Ailish makes us stay up late only to lose.
Okay.
It's okay.
Let me just say that I've learned my lesson. I got multiple people tweeting in saying, oh, Ailish, I can't stand you making us stay up late. And then I lost.
Yeah.
I will say,
I'm with
I know that Leon Draisaitl was going to be a last-minute scratch? Would I have bet the over? Probably not. But this is how it goes. The 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m. choices sometimes bite you. That is my tiny little defense of my loss. That's all.
I have no defense of your loss, but if you're sending in bet slips at halftime of a basketball game, don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's
Don't be sending us bet slips with, oh, good start. When it's, you know, DeMar has 40 in the
Ailish,
third quarter. I'm not
riding
I'm not
on
that
you.
Confident. Yeah, that's. I don't know if that guy was trying to jinx. I don't know what, but no,
maybe mashing us.
Keep sending your bet slips and send them to JD especially. I got a bunch yesterday too that we teed up our first three leg homers parlay in a long time, and the Leafs on some on some outlets hit the early payout. So you still got that one. And then Raptors and Jays obviously won. So those are fun to send in. Do not send in while games are still in progress. Please. Please. That's just bad, bad. That's asking to be mushed.
So a lot of new sports gamblers out there, right? A lot of new sports bettors. I mean, all of us are new sports bettors because now it's legal. And so before, none of us were
doing any. We never bet before, ever.
No one was dabbling. No one smoked a joint before pot was legal. Maybe the people in jail did, and nobody was gambling before gambling was legal, other than the mobsters and the racketeer guys. You know, the people in the movies that have the board up, and they're going like, here's a chalkboard, and it's in a warehouse. That's who was gambling before this.
Yeah,
but now it's
legal. Blinders blowing the red dust into the horse's face to rig the races.
That's the red dust. God, you know what I'd kill for a red dust moment? Like, that's the dream of every person who gambles on sports is like one person telling you, like, I rigged something. I just want – just let me one time in my life experience what it's like to win a bet that is rigged. So Ailish is our trapdoor. Unfortunately, 2 of 3 on the wake and rake yesterday. Thank you, Houston Rockets. I always believed in you. Houston Rockets without their best three players. An amazing, amazing one. So – it's wake and rake time. Before we do our picks for tonight, let's do our picks for the week. Let's bring in he who was slandered by Nick Kiprios for the last like 10 minutes. Sam McKee of Real Kipper and Bourne. The golf show too, which is back. The golf show Sammy, I'm not gonna lie. I don't wake up, but I think it's every Sunday morning.
It's Saturday morning.
Okay, right. It's one of those.
Yeah. Guess what? You get what time do you get up on every day? I think you can sleep through it on Saturday morning at 9. But we're doing a little. We did a preview pod for the Masters yesterday too, where we put one up. So we did our picks. We talked about Tiger. We did our Augusta National hole draft. So turn it in. It was good. It was a good little pod. Put an hour worth of content for you to get you tuned up for the best weekend of the year.
So I love it. You and Brent Gunning, again, of the golf show. So every Sunday you guys have this. It's up in a podcast form, too. So if you want to get it, you can subscribe, you can review, you can do all those different things. But, yeah, I want to bring you on and talk a little bit about our Masters picks, our Masters bets. I told you right away that I was going to be playing some pretty heavy action on Tiger to make the cut, that he's not playing if he's not competitive. Mm-hmm. The line has moved. I bought it at plus money. I bought it at plus 125. It's now Blake alerted me to it being minus 110 most books today. You kind of have some reservations about this. Like, but to you, is this about the foot? Is this about the swing? Like, is this just about you being a nervous Nelly Tiger fan? Like, where are you at?
All of the above. Mostly that I don't want him to go out there and go out on Thursday and shoot a 77 and look bad and have everybody talking about how it was a mistake that he went and he rushed it. And people like you who hate Tiger.
I love Tiger. What are you talking about?
One of us has,
how much money do you have on Tiger?
Zero, because the odds are awful.
Some of us have four digis. Some of us have four digis on Tiger to make that cut.
Oh, my God.
Great. Yeah. Can't wait to listen to you hammer me when he plays awful about how bad Tiger is.
No, that's not true.
Really, I'm a Tiger guy.
Hey, real Tiger guys put their money where their mouth is, and I'm a real Tiger guy.
So I think that if he's playing, he's obviously feels as though that he can win. But the problem is that he's Tiger Woods, and he can probably feels like he can win any golf tournament at any time. He's got that mentality of an all-time great, where he's an egomaniac. He believes he can win any tourney. So that would scare me big time if I had four digits on him to make the cut. Let's just say that I'm extremely excited to see him. I mean, it's been so long since we've seen him out there in a non-father-son tournament, so be interesting to see what the swing looks like. All the videos leading up to it looks awesome, but I am extremely hesitant about getting excited. If he shoots a 70 on Thursday, though, I'm going to come on the show, the golf show on
Saturday.
I was just
going to say, it's the most Sam thing ever. Like,
so, yeah, this sets up as a full tilt weekend where you're either way too heavily leveraged on Tiger right now and things go poorly, and then you're going to be chasing whoever is in the mix Saturday and Sunday, or you're going to miss out on the early Tiger returns and then be chasing him into Championship Sunday. So, Sam,
listen, I'm going to get bets in on Tiger. I will be getting my bets in on Tiger. I will not be getting left behind. I had money on him when he won in 2019, which was one of the best weekends ever. So I will be getting the money in, but I will be basically lighting it on fire, I feel like. Anyways, go ahead, Mike.
All right, so we set that up as Tiger to make the cut is the line. And Sam, I wanted to start here because I come at this. I'm pretty novice when it comes to golf. I do the two rounds a summer. I don't watch a ton of it. But JD and Ailish have been like, Blake, you got to bet on golf. You got to bet on golf. It's a good way to enjoy it and get a little more invested in stuff.
Definitely.
Just a little bit of the entertainment budget on your summer weekends. Nothing too heavy. So when I look at this, and I'm asking this because I'd imagine there are some other people who are going to be new to betting the Masters. You open up the thing and there's to win outright. There's daily. There's to make the cut. There's to finish at a certain thing. If you are a novice golf bettor, what is the approach when you sit down with the Masters prior to the tournament starting? Am I looking at, like, is to make the cut the easiest way to approach it? Should I be going for winning outright? Should I be looking at top finishes? What's my approach here as a golf idiot?
I think you should go into it with a weekend budget on how much you want to gamble on the Masters or on any other big golf tournament.
Certainly not four digits, JD.
No, but probably not four digits, like old D-Gen Bunk over there. But I like putting a little bit of money on some outrights to start the tourney, because that's where you're going to get your best value, obviously. And then when you head into the weekend, maybe do some head-to-head bets, which they have on Coolbet. I saw that you can put a bet on somebody to play against somebody else, and you can, which is great. So you can kind of cheer for a guy over another guy. So I like doing that. And then I also like the look at where you are on Sunday and Saturday. So you can, you know, who's leading the tournament. Look at the leaderboard, a good name that's a few strokes back that you may be able to get value at when it's live. I also love to do, but I usually, I mean, I'm not a big time gambler when it comes to golf. I'll usually do a couple outrights at the start of the tournament, do a couple head-to-heads, and maybe a prop bet or two. But I like having somebody on the Sunday, if you're out of it, to root for. So I'll usually gamble on somebody who has a bit of value at the back half on Sunday or Saturday.
Okay, so let's start there then. Who do you got?
Who do I got for just to win it, or do I for
your back half guy? Like where you're looking for your value.
I mean, I love Cam Smith, but so does the rest of the world. So his value's gone down. Like, at the start of the year, I think he was 50-1 to win the Masters, and now he's at 17-1. So it's not great value, but he's an up-and-comer. He's a great putter, great chipper. He's got all the sort of tools to win around Augusta. If we're looking further down the board, I guess DJ is a little further down at 19-1. I heard that you guys said you had Faraday on, and he likes DJ. Mm-hmm. I do love DJ this week. 19-1 is the number I saw him at, which is pretty good for Dustin Johnson. And, you know, this one's going to be a tough one, but I'm probably going to get made fun of for this. But Bryson DeChambeau, who everyone has completely written off, and for good reason, because he's been a complete psychopath for the last 6 months or so. he was the betting favorite last year, I think at 10-1 or 9-1, because I remember I put a lot of money on it and instantly regretted it. But he's coming in at around 45-50-1. For a guy that's a really good player on tour, it's worth a little sprinkle. So I like him as a long shot. Love Connors, too, at 60-1. But I'll be doing my big bets on Cam Smith, probably, and maybe a little bit of Scottie Scheffler love.
You don't feel like you're kind of falling into the Cam Smith trap a little bit here, because this is what happened with DeChambeau last year, Sammy, is that like everybody got
yeah,
on the same guy.
Yeah, but DeChambeau can't putt or chip. That's a big difference.
Yeah, sure, but it's just, well, then if we're going to do the putting thing, then why do we like Connors? And the second part is just that, it's just like, I'm always worried when there's the consensus guy. Like, I'm always worried about when there's one dude that everybody loves, and it's just like the Cam Smith obsession has gotten to, like, what's his odds now to win? What did you say you have it as?
17-1.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that's just that's a maybe playing them head to head. Like, I know that on Thursday or tomorrow, he's minus, what did I see him at earlier? I had this written down and now I've lost it on my page. But yeah, he's minus 147 in a head to head match with Paul Casey. That's something where I'm going, okay, like, let me just start with something like this. Let me put this into parlays before I'm starting to go, like, 17-1 on the consensus guy. I just never feel like the value is good on the dudes that everybody loves.
Yeah. I mean, he's just – he's really plays well at the Masters. He's had three top tens in the last four tourneys. So he's always floating around there. He seems to really like it. I love the way he's been playing. I'm a big fan of Cam Smith. I also – it's a bit of a heart bet, too. You want to have a piece of a guy that you like, and I'm a big fan of Cam Smith, and he's got the game at Augusta to win it. So I will be putting some ducats on him.
So my favorite bet every single year with the Masters is Justin Thomas plays top five. It's plus 275. That's the same thing I'm going to be rocking this year. I feel like the plus 135 for top 10 is always just basically free money for JT. I don't understand the lack of hype around him this year. Like, Rahm feels like he's the guy. Like, I know he's the betting favorite. He's now number one in the world. You and Faraday are on DJ. He's number three, actually, in terms of odds. Cam Smith as the sexy kind of comeback winner. Why not as much discussion about JT for this tournament? Because I've always told you that I feel like it's an inevitability that he's going to win this tournament one year.
I think it's a good question, and it's a fair one. And I think if you're a new to gambler with golf, that'd be fun to have some money on JT, because he's probably going to be in this thing. And you're going to go into Sunday with a chance to win some money, I would imagine, because he's always plays well at the Masters, and it's just kind of a fun guy to be rooting for. I don't know. I pick some guys, and I don't think he's necessarily been on top form. If I'm looking at the favorites, he's not one of the guys that I would be betting on. I'd probably put some money on John Rahm before I'd put money on him. I think it's a fair gripe. I think a top five, top 10 bet is borderline lock for him, but I just won't be putting the money on him to win it this year. But I do like having a piece of him if you're heading into the weekend, because there's probably going to be a good chance that you have a bit of a sweat, have a bit of fun on Sunday, because he's probably going to be floating around the leaderboard.
Okay, so any other bet that we're leaving on the table right now before you go?
So, I like, if you're going to bet Tiger, if you're going to do the Tiger, the bet stuff, and you're going to bet him to make the cut, I'm looking last night, a top 20 is plus 200. It's not a bad number, and a top 10 is plus 550. That's a pretty lofty goal, but at the same time, if he finds his way into the weekend, he's out there on Sunday in a no-pressure situation, there's a chance for him to backdoor a top 10, so I wouldn't mind putting a little bit of money. Like, the number for him to win outright is insane. I saw it last night at like 38-1, 40-1. If you bet that, you need help. Even you, Bunkus, if you bet that, you need help. So it's a crazy number, and I do like there to be a hole-in-one. It's at plus 131. Been 33 at the Masters, including Corey Connors last year, who made one at number six, Juniper, as it's called, at Augusta National. So give me a plus 131 for there to be a hole in one.
Okay. So I don't like the Tiger to win bets at all, or even the top 10s. No, but like, yeah, Tiger to win has always been the biggest sucker bet in the history of sports, especially given what's at. Like, and I know you won in 2019, but what I say to everyone who won in 2019 is like, yeah, but you lost overall because you guys bet him every tournament. And so it's like, it's at best you guys broke even on Tiger. What I like about the Tiger to make the cut bet is that it's the first 2 days on the foot.
And
for sure.
I'm a little worried about what day three, day four look like when Tiger's putting on his shoes. When Tiger goes to lace them up on day four at Augusta on the hills, how is he going to be feeling? And so for him to go down the stretch and still be healthy, like Faraday brought up, you know, playing on the knee. And I go, yeah, but how old was he when that happened versus now where he's a 46-year-old man who's still working his way back from recovery? There's probably a lot of adrenaline flowing right now, and so that pain tolerance scares the crap out of me. There's almost like I'm looking at this through two different lenses. Like, one, Tiger obviously needs to be competitive. I don't think he's playing this tournament unless he's not. He's only missed the cut here once. So I just, like, also have that faith leaning on me with what the Tiger to make the cut bet. But I also kind of look at this as the Phil Mickelson four-year window where I'm saying Tiger wants to win in the next 4 years. And I don't know if he's showing up to say that he's going to win immediately. I think he wants to show up and go like, hey, I can make a cut. I can be in the mix in a first tournament back. Like, I'm not going to embarrass myself, and this is where I'm at in my recovery. What am I going to be like for a year from now? Get this out of the way. Get all the pomp and circumstance out of the way. But I think he makes the cut, and that's why I'm so confident in that bet. And that's why, also, if like you're going to have Tiger action, minus 110 even still for that bet, I actually think is a good price. And it's purely based on the idea that he's going to end up potentially pulling out after a day. So, yeah, Tiger to make the cut, that's my favorite bet. Blake.
Speaking of the cut, a quick question for you, Sam. The over-under for where the cut line is set at 148 even. The last 3 years, that would have been an under, but before that, it was 6 of 7 over. Weather is supposed to be as perfect as it gets for golf, sunny with partial cloud and right around like 18, 19 degrees every day. Mm-hmm. It's right in the sweet spot. Do you have a lean on the cut line over-under?
So 148, so that would be even, or is that one under? I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to do quick math. What's 148 divided by 2?
No, that'd be over because it's 74 around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So that's a tough one. I've never even considered that in my life. I think it's usually – that's never a bet that I would ever make about the cut line, but I don't know. That's a good question. I have
no
idea.
So last 3 years, it was 147, 140 – yeah, okay. It was just an interesting one because in doing my research, it was like, oh – the last 3 years, there's been a huge switch in the trend where it was over a push, and then the last couple of years, it's been under in a row. I didn't know if there was a change or everyone's just getting better or what. So sorry to put you in that position.
No, I don't care. I don't care at all. Winning margin, though, winning margin two strokes is plus 375, which is extremely plausible. So
yeah,
that was one.
That's actually a fun play. That's a fun play. Yeah. By the way, the most exciting head-to-head matchup, obviously, round one is McIlroy Koepka for me, outside of Tiger, obviously, but it's like the betting-wise. And so I will be doing my annual I Believe in You, Rory, betting him in a head-to-head, and then watching it crumble, fall apart, and then getting mad and texting Sam about and then every Rory fan we know, a.k.a. Brent Gunning, about how Rory's there. Yeah, I know. I hate him, too. But
time.
I can't help it. I can't help it. I always bet on Rory. I saw the number. I'm deciding to do it. Sammy, thanks for joining us again, the golf show, and then later today with Real Kipper and Bourne. Enjoy Kipper just hammering away at you that he told you so. He told you so.
Yeah, can't wait.
Fire Wagon Hockey. See you, bud. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Sam McKee, part of the show there at Real Kipper and Bourne. And of course, the golf show every Saturday morning. Early. Too early for me. So, let's get into our best bets for tonight. Is there any golf bet that you want to share right now? Any of you? Like, I've already kind of given you mine.
I went Connors on a top 10 finish. And if David Faraday's pumping the tires of a Canadian, I'm going to put a little sprinkle on that. Went Connors top 10. Austhausen for a top 5. Just the recent track record in majors and the kind of humorous outcome of he plays really, really well with Tiger and then falls apart on the Saturday, Sunday. Those are my two that I locked in.
I like Connors in his head-to-head for the Thursday. He's up against, I think it's Russell Henley. I might have his first name wrong. I always forget his name. But I think it's Russell Henley. He's minus 118 favorite in the first day. And again, Connors is a strong starter. I like him in that spot. So, that's a good way to bet Corey Connors. Ailish, anything for you early on?
Yeah, I like the DJ conversation, especially didn't he just fall out of the top 10? Is that I think that's what Fairdeep's
saying. Yeah,
exactly. I think it's very motivating. He's still one of the best, and I like doing the top like five places kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Just saves you from, oh, the guy finished second and I lost all my money. I feel like a little bit safer with those. But I also like Sam's idea of kind of waiting to see and having someone on that final day that you bet on, kind of like a live bet. So, yeah, I'll sprinkle some in over the next couple of days for sure.
But this is why I love golf betting, is because I think that it's a just $5 whenever you end up putting on the long shots, right? Whenever you end up taking okay, I'm going to pick an outright winner before the tournament. I usually, like, my suggestion is usually not to pick the favorites to win these tournaments unless you feel extremely strongly about a favorite where you go, no, this course is designed, I feel very confident, I love this golfer, I'm picking them outright to win. Because it's even still good odds, right? Like, you pick, Rahm is the favorite, it's plus 1,100 right now. You know, that's still really, really good odds. I still don't usually gravitate towards that. I usually like to pick someone that's a little bit further down the board. And that, again, this year, Cam Smith seems to be everybody's guy. He's plus 3,200 to win this thing outright. But yes, that's the kind of bet that you're looking for, right? That long shot. But also, I love head-to-head. Head-to-head is perfect. I love it in parlays. But I also like waiting until the tournament goes on in terms of picking players to win, because you can still get good odds as the tournament goes on. You can't get quite the
astronomical ones. Yeah, you can see how
they're playing,
too.
For sure, exactly.
Really important. It's the same course every day.
I just think that golf betting, absolute, perfect way to go. Ready for best bets? Oh, Ailish, you got one more.
I just have one little fun one. Corey Connors to make a hole-in-one, plus 5,000. Hey, just $5.
Okay.
Hey, listen, you know what? If it hits, I'm going to be real happy. If not, it's $5.
I'm never going to – the principle of just $5 is that you never judge, in my opinion. Just $5 is just $5.
I got to go with one, like, random bet if I'm going to have crazy odds this weekend, and that's a fun one. A little Canadian love.
You didn't want to go first yesterday.
No,
it's
fine. I know.
We warned you.
Okay, yes.
Coming off a win, and you want to change the approach.
I do think that my decision to not go first influenced the outcome of the Edmonton Oilers and whoever they were playing.
It influenced the quality
of
your pick.
That makes me feel confident about the pick. Whoever they were playing.
Down in the San Jose, my pick definitely influenced the play of the game. I'll go back to picking first. It influenced you as a picker. I looked at the NBA lines, but since a lot of people have already clinched, I don't really like betting on that, because it's like, are you going to start everybody? Are they going to be playing for anything? There's a lot of interesting matchups that I'm not going to touch. I'm going to go back to hockey. It's been tough for me, but I am going to just go Lightning money line. It's minus 140. They're playing the Capitals. The Lightning are still one of the best in the Eastern Conference here. I really want to just get a good win. Tampa Bay money line, not in regulation. That's it. That's my pick.
All right, Katie, what do you got?
Well, I was just going to say too quickly is that I'm a story better, right? Like, what's the story? How do I get behind the story? The reason why I like the Lightning pick is that, and I actually have them on my card too, is because, yeah, they did just lose the Leafs and it was a very public
game. And the Canadians.
Yeah, and so I would be saying this is a tough spot for Washington to be in specifically, where they're maybe getting a Lightning team that's looking at this saying, hey,
something to prove.
Maybe it's time for us to start ramping this sucker up. Maybe this is time for us to start playing a little bit better. That's certainly what I hope, at least. Yeah, I'm with you with the NBA slate tonight. I don't have a high degree of confidence with it. Like, part of me thinks that the Celtics are going to smush the Bulls. But again, I'm worried about like what teams are playing for. Either way, I'm still going to do it. I'm going to lay the 6.5 points that it is right now, and I'm going to take the Boston Celtics. I just think Chicago's in a bad way. And having played yesterday, to now get the Boston Celtics in that defense. And like, Blake, as far as I understand, the Bulls have also clinched now, correct?
Yes. Yeah. This was actually my top pick as well. Celtics want the 2 seed. Whatever you believe about the vaccination shadiness or whatever, the 2 seed insulates them from that. They have the tiebreaker in a 3-way scenario with Milwaukee and Philly. Boston controls their fate for the 2 seed. The Bulls are a bit of a disaster and are locked into 5 or 6 in a way that this game doesn't really matter. So I like Celtics minus 6.5 as well.
Okay.
I'm going to round it out with Vegas on the money line. Against the Canucks. It's a late one. I don't like doing that, but Celtics is the only NBA game I like. So Celtics minus 6.5. Tampa Bay Lightning on the money line, Vegas Golden Knights on the money line. That's your Wake and Rake.
Okay.
For April 6th.